Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Soccer for Dummies. Per usual, I'm your host, Scott Lewis. Of course, you know to follow me on all social media platforms at Barbchair Scott. Even though I really don't tweet anymore, I gave up Twitter. Like, I really just go on there, tweet my work, and get off. My life has been so much smoother the last 5 weeks since I got off that hellhole of an app. But still follow me on there, TikTok, Instagram. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, Scott's World of Sports. So appreciate everybody who has been checking out the content, man. But got another guest today. Well, he's not even really a guest. Friend of the program. In fact, he started this segment with me on I'm Not Gonna Hold You before it became the pod. We got the homie Tosin in here, man. I want to call you the leader of Shirtless Plantation. Is that appropriate? Or the founder? That's fine on me.
Yeah, I'm just 1/4, man. You know,
1/4.
Yeah, you know, I'm just to do my job. That's all I have.
In the words of Bill Belichick, do your job. So, you are the second member of Shirtless Plantain Show we've had on here the last couple weeks. We had Gabby on a couple weeks ago. A lot has happened. A lot has changed in the world of Arsenal since then. At that time, we had like a 9-point lead. Right now, we have a 3-point lead, and it's not a safe 3-point lead. So, we're going to get into a lot of stuff, man. We're going to talk Arsenal. We're going to talk running, talk our favorite out, Chelsea Football Club. We'll talk about Tottenham and West Ham, who's going to be speaking Cardiff City in a couple weeks. And then we'll talk about this week's Champions League games, which I think is going under the radar for Arsenal fans because it's so hell-bent on the league. Now I'll say this. Maybe this is just me being an American Arsenal fan. I feel like British or, you know, English Arsenal fans don't care too much about Champions League. Like, they're kind of like, oh, it's a consolation prize. For me, if you ask me, now, I would prefer, like, if you told me you can only have one trophy over the next 5 weeks, I would say Premier League only because of the league we have. But maybe as an American sports fan, I value the Champions League a little harder because I want to be king of everybody instead of just king of one area. You know what I'm saying? But what I've been noticing over the last couple of weeks, it's the weirdest thing. You know, I've only been watching this sport for about 14 months now, but I've been watching sports my entire life. I've been blessed to see all of my teams, with the exception of the Chicago Bears, win a championship. I remember these seasons, even the last couple Jordan seasons, for whatever you can remember as a 10-year-old. I remember having fun. Even the seasons that my team didn't win a championship, like this past Bears season, I had a lot of fun. Did it stress the hell out of me? 100%. I don't think I could eat before the Packers playoff game. But I had fun. Even take it to the 2018 Bears who lost in the infamous double doink. I had fun that season. I am having no fun watching this. I'm talking about none. And I had fun at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Like September, October, November, I think was the best that we've seen Arsenal play. And, you know, wasn't like champagne football or nothing like that. But the defense was locked down. Forget scoring. Niggas weren't getting shots on goal. They weren't getting shots on target, nothing. It was that quiet. So it was enjoyable from that perspective, knowing, oh, we'll nick a goal or two because they're not getting nothing in our area. Now, everybody says the play started bad in January. I disagree. The play started bad right after we beat Bayern. And we was on top of the world. Oh, best team in Europe. We just got away with playing like shit in December. We went 7-1 in the month of December, but it was bad football. And the shameless win against Wolves, the shameless win against Brentford. I think the only game that month that was like, okay, this is really good, is when we got our lick back against Aston Villa. And even then, I'll say the first 45 minutes were kind of forgettable. Mm-hmm. We just really like, it was like an avalanche of goals. Kind of like the Atletico Madrid game, which we'll talk about later. And, you know, I watch a lot of Arsenal podcasts and I consume a lot of football media. And I just really kind of block out national, well, not national, but overall British media. Because we're the pinata. As I've noticed, there's two things. No other teams matter in English football besides Arsenal and Manchester United. I swear to God. There's every other headline. If I got it here, Michael Carrick proves himself 1 week. 2 weeks later, sack him. Like, and then Arsenal, it's whatever you got to say about Arsenal to get a hit, it works. So I kind of tuned that out. Mm-hmm. But the fans, it just feels like every game is do or die. And I'm a pretty optimistic person. But even me, after they lost to Bournemouth, they took the last remaining optimism I have. I'm just riding no hope now. So even when you see my run-in predictions, that is hope, not head yeah. for these predictions. I just think I know it's not supposed to be easy. It's my first title race, but it's supposed to be a lot more fun than this. That I think. Now you've been through many title races. Man mm-hmm. United has won many leagues by 1 or 2 points, mm-hmm. even lost one off goal difference, which might mm-hmm. come down to that. What's your view as a neutral on what Arsenal fans are feeling and just how the season is going?
Well, I'll start off with advice first. And I know it's going to sound very inappropriate and wrong for me to say this. And I know this is not, you know, what I'm going to say. I'm prefacing this because we live in the era of political correctness.
Right.
I come from the 90s. I'm from South yeah. London. I'm from Baltimore. I have no political correctness in me.
Of course not. Yeah.
And I was seasoned in Brooklyn. Okay. Don't be a bitch. That's the biggest advice I can give to anybody. I had to long way say that. Right.
Yeah.
You're now, and I said this on the Shirtless Plantain Show, and I say this to every single person. I've seen 13 Premier League titles in my life. I've seen a lot of them, Jones. I've seen us whoop ass. I've seen us struggle. I've seen it all. You're in the now, in the era where, well, in the time of the season where you got to be shameless in the way that you play. You got to be disgusting. You got to be nasty. Results don't matter. Results are the only thing that matters. How you play, how you do it. It's Eddie Guerrero, Viva La Raza. Like, you have to just get your 3 points. It don't matter
how
you
do it. Steal.
By hook, by crook, you got to do it. And that's where I'm at with Arsenal fans. It's like, this is fun for me if I'm an Arsenal fan because it's like, all that pressure, I get it. It's been 22 years since you last won the Premier League title. The last time Arsenal won a title, you can go to Sam Goody. Jesus Christ, I'm old. You go to Sam Goody and buy Kanye.
Oh, Sam Goody. Yeah. That was when late registration came out. I was 15. No,
college dropout.
No, not late. Yeah, you're right. College dropout.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I lose my Chicago car for that, but he lost his black car a long time ago. So I'm a quarter to slip up.
Yeah. So the long and short of it is that, like, I get the pressure, man. Like, the media is always talking. I think I saw a tweet this morning. This girl basically saying how we've now sucked the fun out of everything sports-wise. And it's true.
100%.
Whether you're an NFL fan, whether you're an NBA fan, whether you're a golf fan, whether you're a baseball, hockey, whatever, everyone has sucked the fun out of sport. It's now turning into what have you done for me lately? What can you do?
And which take can be more correct?
Who can be the loudest? Who can be the most ignorant? Who can get the most stupid retweets from people? You have to look at the context of Arsenal, right? If you had told me about 10 years ago that Arsenal will be consistently a top four team, which is a hard thing to do, right? Consistent top four team, a consistent title winning team, or title chasing team, you take that, right? You're just so close to the precipice that it's just like, you have to stick with it. It doesn't help, like, you know, Tyler Adams said it too, that the pressure at Emirates is hard. And he's an Arsenal fan himself.
And not to cut you off, can I ask you about that? Because I feel like, obviously I've never been to the Emirates, so I don't want to speak on something I haven't seen. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, as somebody watching on TV, I think the last couple games, the Emirates crowd has been great. Even when the play has been asked, mm-hmm. it's been the Arsenal chance. But I've definitely, especially I can remember the Everton game, where it feels like one bad thing happens and they're just shook. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be nervous. I honestly don't even have a problem with booing sometimes because mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of bad football with the Bears. And mm-hmm. one thing I've said about Bears fans – they may be stupid, but they are not pussy. Very rarely do you see a Bears crowd just not into it. Mm-hmm. We could be losing. Like, not one time in any of those Packer comeback wins this season was the crowd dead. It was always, yeah. we can do this. I feel like Arsenal fans are a little, you know, they're just silent. And I understand you want to see better play. But like you said, it's the business end of the season. You got to get the guys on. I can't stand Gabriel Martinelli, but I'm rooting for him to do his best because I want to win a title. Yep. Now, 5 weeks, if we sitting here, no trophy, by all means, kill whoever you want to kill. But I do feel like maybe they should be giving the team a little bit more during these games.
I mean, I can only speak from two of my fan bases, right? I'm a Ravens fan. Everyone knows Ravens fans travel like hell.
Yeah.
Like, and you feel it. And if you go to home, if you go to Baltimore game, that stadium is literally shaking, especially night games. Manchester United fans, probably the best away fans in all of English football, maybe all of the football world. You will see it like whenever United try, like, and we've been bad for the last 13 years, but they go hard for their team. And that's what,
and Arsenal, that's the crazy thing. Arsenal away fans are nuts.
Yeah.
There's never an issue with that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about being at home that makes Arsenal fan nervous, but it travels into the players, it travels into the coach. Like, you saw Mikel Arteta when Arsenal won this weekend, he was hyped. Because he knows the pressure is on and it's hard, you know. So, long story short, is that listen, Arsenal fans, as Sir Alex Ferguson said, it's squeaky bum time. Like, yeah, absolutely squeaky bum time. So, you guys have to just knuckle up, you know, and just support your team, rally up, and just keep it pushing. Coach goes to all the games, well, most of the games he can go to, and he could tell
you. Yeah, I love watching this, post game reactions.
Mm-hmm. He can tell you, like, yo, it's. This weekend was good, but he's telling me, like, sometimes it gets a little bit nervous. You know, people get nervous. So I just need Arsenal fans to tighten up, man. Like,
yeah,
tighten up.
And I do notice, you know, because I watch a lot of Arsenal podcast, the older Arsenal fans, like, yeah, they're nervous, but they're not as nervous because, you know, they've seen the Invincibles, Thierry Henry, and the younger ones. They're just, and I think this, you know what I think Arsenal fans need to do? They will never happen. And I think just because we're in a social media age of sports, mm-hmm. then it might be that chance is there. They need to embrace the hate. Like, the one of the main reasons I pick Arsenal, because everybody told me don't pick them. And I just, you know, sometimes I'm a habitual line stepper, like Charlie Murphy said. And I was like, oh, y'all want me to root for them? Watch this. I feel like so many fans are just so worried about what rival fans say. I want them to understand this. We can do the double. And they will find a way to criticize. It'll be Talk Sport a week later as we're getting ready for the World Cup. Is Arsenal the weakest double team in English history? It doesn't matter. They hate you. One thing I respect about Cowboy fans, Laker fans, Yankee fans, they don't care that they hate them. They love it. We can talk about, oh, the Cowboys ain't won a Super Bowl since Clinton was in office. They don't care. Laker fans are some of the most shameless individuals. And I ain't talking about LeBron, Kobe, Laker fans. I'm talking about my man who live on the east side of L.A., who done crammed about four Modelo's across the street of Tom's Urban before he done candy the game. Them the real Laker fans. Or Yankee fans who keep telling you they got 27 rings. They embrace it. I feel like Arsenal fans just want to be so accepted so much. And maybe that's just the online population.
And that's why I'm a United fan, because people tell me, oh, you guys stink. I was like, guess what? You still chasing our ghosts, so it don't matter to me.
That's the one thing I will say about United fans. You guys have a confidence, but that comes with the winning. And I think that a lot of fans, they became fans during the Arsenal banter era. You know what I'm saying? And that's just really interesting to me because – and some people tell me, oh, you don't understand it. Yeah, maybe not from an Arsenal perspective. Y'all talking about 22 years. You see these niggas stadium in the back? 40. Okay? That's a long time. If I had a dollar for every time my dad tells me about the Super Bowl party at 85, I'm going to lose it. Okay? So I know what droughts feel like. Okay? So I can relate from that front. Yeah. So I just really feel like this fan base just wants to take a sigh of relief. And my advice to people, outside of what you said, don't be a bitch, which is great life advice for anything. I would take a break from the internet. I would just move away and try to at least do what you can to get through these next couple of games. And I try to look at it positive. When we played the Packers, I just kept thinking, like, oh, my God, like, what if we lose? But think about what you win. I didn't have a moment to breathe until that ball hit Kyler Gordon's hand with no time left. But the euphoria I felt, it's unmatched.
I'm going to go back to your point about getting off the internet. Listen,
yeah,
I'm very blessed and highly favored to call Brooklyn my home. Whenever I see people being dumb online talking about Meg Thee Stallion or talking about this and that, guess what I do? I go outside. I look at the trees. I look at the grass. I look at the pretty women. I look at the dogs. I look at the food that's here. And I realized, ain't none of this shit online real. Tyler, the Creator, said it the best. What's cyberbullying? Log off. Just absolutely log off. Like, and I need everybody to do this, man. Like, once in a while, don't be on your phone. Don't be on your TikTok. Don't be on Instagram. Don't be on whatever. Don't listen to TalkSport. Don't listen to the Daily Mail, the Sun. Be happy about the team that you love. You pick Arsenal for a reason, right? Win, lose, or draw, you're going to be with them, right? I would die being a Man United fan. I would die being a Ravens fan. It is what it is. But guess what? Nothing anybody says online about my teams matters, because guess what? Yeah. I love them at the end of the day. Your love for your team has to outweigh the love you have for being banter. That's all I have to say every single day. So, Arsenal fans, long and short of it, if you listen to anything I say, don't be a bitch and tighten up and get off.
Now, I want to talk about the other side of the title race, which is Manchester City. We got to talk about them. This is a funny thing about Man City, and I had my man B on here a couple weeks ago. He's a United fan, too. What I've noticed, nobody cares about that club. Like, we keep talking about all the cheating they've done, 115 charges. I even read something today where they're trying to get their Bournemouth and Crystal Palace games rescheduled in the opposite way so they can have back-to-back home games. And it's like, that's a form of cheating, too. But as much as they cheat, people just want to see Arsenal lose. And that's because nobody cares about City. It's like, oh, we'll accept the status quo just as long as a team that actually matters doesn't win. But I also think that the way they've been playing has been good. I don't think they've been playing as great as people have been making it out to be. If you look at the game against us a couple weeks ago, I don't want to say you deserve anything in sports, because you get what you deserve, pretty much. But that just felt like a game that probably should have been a draw. I don't look at this as a game where they just completely outclassed us. And even narratives are different. We scraped a win against Newcastle the other day. When they scraped one against Burnley, oh, that's what champions do. Yeah. You know? So, but I do think we got to give Pep some love for the way he manages his team to just be ready for a slip up.
Yeah.
And Arsenal gave him that. What do you think the way they played, and just they could win the domestic treble?
I'll say this much. When you can buy to Johnny Rangers and Omar Marmoush, and they don't really matter on the bench because you're buying Antoine Semenyo in January, you could do whatever you want. You got fresh legs. You got fresh power in your team. It is what it is. So that's number one. Number two, just like, Pep is one of the greatest coaches to ever do it. Has he done it with teams that are competitively better than everybody else in the rest of the league? Yeah. But you got to face who you face, right? Did a great job with Barcelona. Did a great job with Bayern. Doing a great job with City. I just feel back to your original point about City not mattering. We're going to talk about Chelsea later. City or Chelsea 2.0. And I'll expand on that later. I'm going to remember this at 18:15. I remember this. Like, I'll remember this timestamp. So for me, when I look at City, I had literally had a phone call last week with somebody. She's an Arsenal fan, long life, like North London woman. And we talked about City. And she asked me, how do I feel about Man City? I said, well, technically, you know, they're our biggest rivals, our local rivals in Manchester. I said, I think for me, growing up in London, I have a little bit of a different experience with Man City, where growing up, City didn't matter. Like, Coventry City just got promoted. The year Coventry got relegated, City got relegated as well. I'm not talking to a fan base who got relegated multiple times in my lifetime that I remember. That's number one. Number two, I'm not from Manchester, so I don't feel that rivalry as deep as people in Manchester do. Number three, it's like, dude, you got inflated money in your team. You could do whatever you want to do. It's like PSG in Ligue 1.
Nation state money.
Yeah. PSG in Ligue 1. Am I saying they're a great team? Absolutely. But PSG also has a leg up with, well, they got a whole body up versus everybody else in Ligue 1.
They can get their whole schedule moved, as we've seen the last couple weeks.
Yeah. So I'm not really worried about City. Like, you know what I mean? It's yes, what they're doing is great. It's like video game shit. Like, you know, you can buy whatever play you want. You can replace him. I was thinking about this the other day, right? Like, where has Omar Marmoush been, and where has, you know...
Bro, I forgot he was on the team, so I saw him starting on Saturday.
Exactly my point. And even, what's it called? Tajani Reinders, who did very well for Milan.
He or as I call him, Andrew from Insecure. He looked just like Buddy, bro.
He do. He does. Especially with when Andrew cut his hair.
Yeah.
When they came back from Mexico.
Season five, Andrew.
Yeah, season five, Andrew. Yeah. But it's just like, I say to say this, like, City are always going to be City. They're not going to get charged. I know they got 115. They're not going to get charged.
They're going to slap on the wrist.
We gotta accept that they're not going to get slapped on the, like, it's not going to happen. They make too much money, and they make money for other people. So it is what it is. But my whole point of this is just basically saying that, listen, City are going to be the evil empire. You just got to deal with it. So I think Arsenal got a little bit nervous against City, and that game happened. But it's going to be a very interesting battle because the Premier League needs this, right? They got the 1 and 2 fighting, and they got 16 and 17 fighting for a relegation. They got title race they got a title race. They got a relegation race, and they also got
four big clubs.
Yeah, and they got a European race as well. This is absolute entertainment. They are sitting there, you know, in Scarface when they will print out the money and they're on the phone.
Yeah,
that's what the Premier League is like right now. Yeah. You know, they're enjoying.
And that's why I laugh too when I watch all five of the domestic leagues. And actually, my second favorite league is actually the Championship.
Okay.
I actually watch a lot of the Championship. I'm interested to see how Coventry City is going to make that Premier League jump. I really liked how they played this year. But if you look at La Liga, it's Madrid versus Barcelona every year. You know, Bundesliga is the Bayern Munich Invitational. And in Serie A, Italian football in general is just in the dumps right now, like, to be completely honest. Like, bro. And I like Serie A, like, some things about it. And so people are like, oh, you know, the Prem has been excellent to me this year. If I can just zoom out, you know, yeah, I love Arsenal, but I love watching football. Like, I can watch a Wolves-Spurs game and enjoy it. This is good for, like you said, good for the sport to have this going on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, man, there's nothing I can say other than, you know, City, where you
got to deal with them.
Yeah, you just got to deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go into the run-in. So, I'm going to give you my predictions.
Okay.
And you just tell me what you think. So, we have four games left, and Manchester City has five games left. They got to get two of them rescheduled because the Bournemouth game is the same weekend that they're going to be in the FA Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
And then Crystal Palace, that's still yet to be rescheduled because, you know, their FA Cup run. And then Palace probably going to be in the Conference League final, I'm assuming, maybe. So they're trying to reschedule that. So the good thing here for Arsenal, played this past Saturday, you got a big Champions League game on Wednesday, but you have an opportunity to go six up before City take the field next Monday against Everton.
Okay.
It's not going to be easy. We all know how David Moyes likes to play. Hopefully he looks out for his son. But this is how I got. So we're at 73 points, City's at 70. This is how I go out. And by the way, this is not head picks. This is all vibes. This is all what I'm hoping happens. I got us beating Fulham. I think that would be a very close game. But hopefully some of our hell-in guys, you know, look out for us. Just don't try too hard. What does Semenyo say? He called Bournemouth like, hey, look out for me.
Yeah.
Call Alex Iwobi. Call my man Emil Smith-Rowe. Tell him, just
chill out.
Don't do too much. Relax. Yeah. Yeah. So I think we'll win now. West Ham away scares me. Like, I understand. I think we done beat them pretty soundly in London Stadium last couple.
But they're fighting for their lives.
But they're fighting for their lives, and they are in great form. This just smells like a draw to me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for a draw for that. Burnley at home. Which I was wrong now. I said back in September, that's going to be trophy day. That's not going to be trophy day. But Burnley at home, Burnley has nothing to play for. They're probably going to be looking at Expedia, you know, getting ready for the season to end. They're going to be in the Championship. They already got relegated last week. I think that'll be a win. Palace, last day of the season, win. I don't think Palace is going to really have much. I don't even know if they're going to play people. You know, that's going to be Oliver Glasner's last match. I'm pretty sure Gianfilippo Mazzetta is going to be going to Serie A or somebody next year. And I think majority of that crowd is going to be Arsenal fans because that could be the day that they lift the trophy. I think that's going to be a win. So I think we finish with 83 points.
Okay.
So now I go to City. So City's going to be playing against Everton away next Monday. This is just my hope. But I got them losing that one. They have not lost a game since October. So I look at that as their due. The points they have dropped have all been draws. I think they'll lose to Everton. And then I think they win out. I think they beat Brentford. I think they beat Bournemouth, Palace. Mm-hmm. Villa for sure. Like, if you're an Arsenal fan and you want them to drop points, you better pray it's before Villa. Because I think Unai Emery is going to troll. He's going to be like, we got Champions League. And they might have Europa League title by then also. Yeah. Nobody's playing. Academy kids. So yeah. You don't want to even get to that. So that's mm-hmm. like, so I got City finished with 82. We finished with 83. And we will get over line. What do you think about that? And in your opinion, you ain't got to go match by match. But how do you see this going out?
I think City's run is a little bit more tricky. Because everything
is. It fun. Is. I'm just being... Yeah. Pessimistic.
No, I think Arsenal win because Arsenal has a little bit of a lighter schedule. Everton are fighting for their European lives. Brentford are fighting for their European lives, and so are Bournemouth. That Chelsea game, Chelsea wants to win a trophy so bad, so that's going to be difficult for them.
I forgot about the FA Cup. Yeah.
And then Palace are also fighting for European lives. So, and Aston Villa's also got a tough run in as well. So City are playing against a bunch of teams who need Europe financially.
But isn't Villa like 10 points up on fifth or sixth?
Nah, they're right now. They got a tricky running as well. Aston Villa right now are fifth because it's United at third. Shit. Liverpool fourth.
Jumped. I didn't see that this week.
Yeah, and then Brighton's also fine for their life. So the
they still got like an 8-point cushion on
for
Brighton.
Sure.
Yeah.
Villa's running is not that bad. They got Europa League on Thursday, Tottenham, which they should win. They're back to Europa League. Then they got Burnley, Liverpool, Villa. Yeah. So their run is not too bad, but it's also like pride. You know, these guys got pride. So. I do think that City do slip up somewhere and Arsenal do manage to win out. But again, this is football, man.
Nothing. Everything I predicted has not gone that way. I just feel this is my honest thought of mm-hmm. feeling of a fan and the football knowledge I do have. I think Arsenal will win. Mm-hmm. I do truly in my heart feel like they're going to win. Like not on some, I just hope shit. I've been watching a lot of sports, and mm-hmm. I told our guy Nikhil this because he's a young one. Droughts don't end easily. I'm trying to think of every drought I've seen in sports. It has ended in the most stressful way ever. Think about the Boston Red Sox in 2004. They were down 0-3. No team in sports has come down from 0-3. And they had to beat the Yankees, a team similar to Manchester City, mm-hmm. at home in a Game 7. Never been done before. And they bodied them. A team that I can't stand, the Chicago Cubs. Game 7, when they went down 3-1 to Cleveland, Game 7 was so stressful that even I, somebody who can't stand that team, when Rajay Davis hit the 2-run home run to tie it in the bottom of the ninth inning, I said, no fan base deserves this pain. Like, I was like, just let them win.
Yeah.
And it had to be a 45-minute rain delay, and then it won in extra innings.
Yeah.
I just feel like Arsenal have to go through this.
Yeah.
To wash away the demons. And here's my hot take. This might be some movie shit, but Eze scores the winning goal at Selhurst Park to give his boyhood club the title against his old team. But I just feel like neither team's going to go undefeated, and it's going to end real goofy. I don't think it comes down to goal difference, though.
Yeah. I just think that for me, I'm just chaotic neutral right now, man. I do think Arsenal winning.
If I was a neutral, I'd be enjoying this.
Yeah. I mean, my team just needs 6 points for Champions League, and I'm trolling the rest of the way, but you know. we start off tonight, but you know, I just generally feel like this is Arsenal's year. I think that you guys have been stumbling and fumbling, and I want to add to your point about the champion, about winning the Champions League versus Premier League. I think there's more of a little bit of pride when you're the king of your own country. Like, I think the Champions League is always an added bonus. But again, this is you're talking to somebody who's seen a team win a double and a treble. So, you know, I do think there's a lot of pride in winning the Premier League. I think because of how long it is from, you know, August till May. The fact that you stuck through that whole entire thing. Champions League is also just like a random luck. Like, United winning 99 was some just like, that is some act of God shit. What do you mean you scored 2 goals in 90?
I mean, even look at the final, 5 minutes, bro. Like, it looked like that y'all was going to lose, bro.
It's foolishness, you know? So it's just like, that's an added bonus. But I do think that Arsenal going to be all right. I think one thing about it, Arsenal's going to be all right. So.
Yeah. I'm really just... want this to end. You know what I need? I need a 2-month break from sports.
Bro.
Just from sports. Because between this team and the Bears, I have not known peace since like July of last year.
Bro, and the worst part is got the World Cup coming, NFL training camp coming. I hate sports, bro.
But why? See, even with the World Cup, I get a 2-month break because I don't care if USA at all. I just want to watch it to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I got 2 months until training camp come. And I got to focus on the Bears. So that's how I think it's going to end. But let's move on to our favorite Chelsea Football Club. Now, in the year that I've been a fan of this glorious sport, I don't really hate Spurs per se. Like, I kind of look at it as like the annoying little brother. Like, yeah. You just, you know, you pity them a little bit. Like, part of me wants them to get relegated because it'll be hilarious. But the other part of me is like, man, that's an automatic 6 points that we can use every year. So kind of keep them up a little bit. And I don't know what it would be like without the North London Derby. And just because you get to the just because you get relegated, don't mean you're going to be up the next year. Look at Leicester City. Oh, my God. I know it was 10 years ago since they won, but they in League One, bro. I think they got relegated again.
They did.
So that's just bad. But Chelsea is my favorite out. It's just something about that club that rubs me the wrong way. Maybe it's the arrogant fan base that just lives in their own world. And that's probably why, like, I don't want City to win the FA Cup.
Yeah.
But I really don't want Chelsea, even in their worst season, to win a trophy. What's your whole thoughts on everything going on Chelsea, from them being, you know, club world champions, being a team who they was talking with their chest out before that Stamford Bridge match at the beginning of December, when I think when they were like 2 or 3 points behind us, to firing two managers and now being here in the FA Cup final?
So let me preface this by saying this for everybody listening. I was born and raised in South London. Like, I'm not one of these people that, like, were born out. I'm from the actual city of London, right? Lived there until I was 11 years old. So I'm going to tell you this. Growing up, I knew one Chelsea fan, and that's my uncle, my dad's best friend. My dad was actually born in Chelsea. Like, literally, my dad was born in Chelsea Hospital. Like, that's where my dad was born. Liverpool fan. But I think for those who don't understand football context, what I'm about to say right now, I don't think Scott really fully understands what I'm about to say. So I'm going to say this. Before Chelsea were taken over by Roman in 2003, Chelsea were a cup side. They'll make the Champions League here and there, but they were known for winning FA Cups and little trinkets here and there. They weren't really an ultra-competitive team like you see them today. What changed in 2003 was Roman Abramovich taking over Chelsea. So I'm going to give Scott some context. 2002. Chelsea made two signings in 2002. One was a free and one was an academy player who ended up playing five games for Chelsea for £500,000 in 2002. Now, I say this to say this, right? In the 34 years that Premier League has been around since 1992, Manchester United has outspent everybody maybe 3 or 4 times max. Arsenal's maybe outspent everybody twice in that. The teams that have spent the most out of spent everybody is Man City and Chelsea. I said at 18-15, I'm going to bring this back, and I'm bringing them back now. Chelsea in 2002 spent £500,000. That's how much they spent one summer. Fast forward a year later in 2003, they spent £111 million on players. Now, what I'm bringing this up to say this is, like, I see people saying what Blue Cole did to Chelsea is illegal. No, no, no. What Chelsea did in 2003 was illegal. There's a lot of underpayments for players. Eden Hazard is one of them. It's a lot of players who got paid on the take through agents. It's a lot of this, a lot of that. These are just facts. You can literally Google up. I'm not making any things up. I'm just telling you what really happened. I'm sure there's stuff underneath the table we don't ever know about. How Roman got his money, that's a mystery, right? But now you get this team that's pumped up with so much money in 2003. They can buy whoever they want, whenever they want, get rid of players, do players. So Chelsea now goes from this middling club to now this popular giant, right? So now you have all these new fans who come in who have no context about what Chelsea were before. All they see now is their favorite players was a Drogba, this guy, that guy. You see all these players, right? Chelsea starts to buy up whoever. Jordan B. Mikel, who everyone has now turned into a meme, was supposed to be a Manchester United player.
Yeah, he's being memed to hell.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a Man United player. Had the kid on and everything. Chelsea came in, and we don't know what happened, but somehow Mikel now is a Chelsea player. These are the sort of things that Chelsea have been doing for years.
Now, the Ashley Cole thing where they got fined.
You know what I'm saying? They gave Ashley Cole a lot of money. Where'd they get that money from? This is a team that, again, like I said, a year prior spent £500,000 once. That was their summer, and they were struggling financially. They come in a year later, get this Russian oil money, and they spend $111 million. Each year, Chelsea's now pumping up more and more money, inflating the price of players. Now, you're seeing the Elliot Anderson go for $100 million. Where does that come from? Well, when you got a team who spent £500,000 one year and then $111 the next, where does that come from? Everybody's now starting to overinflate the price of their players. Before Roman Abramovich, there really wasn't that many foreign managers. Like, Fulham had
what's his name? Dodi Fayed. Like his dad, his dad bought Fulham, right? They had the Michael Jackson statue outside of Fulham. I remember that. So you guys remember this?
Michael Jackson statue.
Fulham had a Michael Jackson statue outside their stadium. Yeah. Again, like I said, these are things that I know about football. Like I'm generally a nerd about this shit. Like I know all this. This is when Fulham had their Pizza Hut jerseys. They had Edwin van der Sar. They had Louis Saha. Like I remember this, Louis Boamote. So I say to say this, Chelsea are an example of what modern football has become. For me, Chelsea started this whole nonsense of state-owned teams and everything else. Because before Chelsea, we didn't have any state-owned teams like that. So now when Chelsea comes in 2003, you get the Glazer family buying Man United and putting all the debt on them. You get the City family in, you get Man City in 2008, you get PSG, you start to get Russia buying all these players in 2012 when Eto'o went over there. So like I'm saying, I don't like Chelsea for ethical and political reasons, on top of the fact that I just hate them. Like, I know technically I'm a journalist, and I know technically I work in the football space. I shouldn't be saying things like this. I just can't stand them. I'm sorry. I know there's journalists who say things like this, who also have teams and things that they hate. I can't stand them, and it is what it is. If you can't, if you disagree with my take, that's fine. But you can't beat my ass. That's the first thing. And I just don't like Chelsea. Anytime I hear someone bring them up to me, it grinds my gears. It
ruins my day.
It doesn't even ruin my day. I just want to fight. Like whenever I hear somebody tell me they're a Chelsea fan, and like I ask what year became a Chelsea fan, especially I know it's after Roman Abramovich, I don't like you. And then people are gonna tell me, oh, well, you're a United fan, you guys cheated, and blah 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 blah. We did not inflate money, bro. I remember when we bought Michael Carrick in 2006 to replace Roy Keane. £18 million is a lot of money spent on central midfield.
Yeah.
Now you get a play for Michael Carrick for £18 million. Whoa. You're like,
how gave Nani Madueke $55 million,
bro. The market's insane. Like, people want $100 million for Elliot Anderson.
Premier League got the same issue the NBA got, where average people are getting lifetime money
and for no reason, generational money. So, The long or short, I'm trying to say is that Chelsea fans, if you disagree with me, look in the mirror and fight that first person you see in the mirror. That's all I got to say. So, I hope that answered your question. That City and Chelsea basically have ruined the sport. But it is what it is. I'm not going to bitch and complain about it. I'm just telling you what the facts are. And I'm not here to say like, oh, because I watched this sport for so long, I'm right and I'm wrong. No, it's just like this literally is what happened before you. Like their chaos is a ladder, right? Chelsea started this mess and now the chickens are coming home to roost. And it just is what it is.
And that's also what the Premier League got to deal with. And I think it's also too, and I saw this podcast yesterday. I think it was the Athletic TIFO show. And I forgot the journalist's name. It was a lady on there. She was a Chelsea fan. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how, you know, it's a problematic chant for Chelsea fans to be saying they want Roman back and things like that. Mm-hmm. But now they're dealing, they went with like oligarch money. So now they're dealing with the American model of how sports teams are run, which I feel like is an interesting conversation because I've had a couple of my guys on here and he covers the NBA. And I was saying, we need to bring relegation into American sports. It will never happen because of the money. Like, you cutting me out of money in this capitalist country? No shot. And British fans can't comprehend that an owner cares nothing about the product that goes on the court or the field or whatever. As a Bulls fan, as a White Sox fan, I know how it feels to have your team owner say, I don't care. And you just got to deal with it. We can go out there and protest all we want. People put posters all on the expressway in Chicago for Jerry Reinsdorf's other team. That was about 7 years ago. He's still running the team. So what Chelsea's dealing with, and I think what a lot of European teams are dealing with, Liverpool a little bit to an extent right now, with American ownership, is that the money's the bottom line. And that's why one Chelsea fan looked at me like I was crazy when I said, maybe missing out on the Champions League is a good thing. And maybe if I would – like, you're not going to obviously knock a roof for your team to lose. I don't see how winning the FA Cup helps them at all. Because if I'm Blue Co., if I'm the owners, I'm like, in our worst season, we still won a trophy. And that's going to make me keep the status quo if I'm them. And but as a hater, which I just love doing – I'm enjoying every minute of this. I hope it gets worse for them. I hope whoever they hire next is terrible. And, you know, we can go up here and talk about Liam Rossini. He just wasn't – he got the job too early. I don't believe it's his fault for what happened. It's the owners. But It couldn't happen to a better fan base, man. I'm sorry.
I mean, back to Leon Rossini, right? He was doing well at Strasbourg.
Strasbourg, yeah.
I think that he just came somewhere too early, and hopefully it doesn't ruin him, because I hate to see, you know, I hate to see black managers.
Yeah, young black man miss out on something big because he got a job too early.
Yeah, yeah. But I've said too much about Chelsea, man. I don't want to talk about it no more. So
let's talk about the great relegation battle, which I have been really enjoying. Between West Ham and Tottenham. Now, for those of you who need updates, Wolves and Burnley already down. Wolves got relegated last week. Burnley got officially eliminated when they lost to City this week. So they will be going down. Coventry is going to be coming up. There's a battle right now. I think it's like a three-way battle to get the second guaranteed spot in the Premier League. It'll either be Ipswich after a year, Southampton after a year, and I think Middlesbrough. Now, just because I like the TV show, I'm hoping Wrexham win the playoff.
Hey, just there's also Millwall, which...
And Millwall, yeah, also Millwall.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you this much, my brother, someone who's never seen Millwall before, don't know what they are, I need them back in the Premier League, because Millwall... Millwall are basically... Tories are, like, basically English MAGA, right? They're basically... Okay. They're, like, the MAGA team of England, boy. Like, they're the racists. They're some vile racists, and...
They hate those stop racism knee joints for the games.
Yeah, like they are. Millwall is a team where, boy, man, I hate the fact we're in the social media era, because that was a team back in the day, man. Why are you going to Millwall, man? That is,
you gonna get called a monkey up in there. They throwing banana peels at you.
A monkey would be nice, man. they calling you slurs from 1800s, man.
They calling you colored nigger with a A.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Well, just for that, they need to stay down. But just because I like working to Wrexham, I want Wrexham to get into the playoff and win it. That's what I'm rooting for. But the third relegation spot, I think, well, I don't think, Leeds is straight. When they beat y'all, I think that pretty much solidified them. Nottingham Forest just scored like 9 goals in 2 games. I think they're safe. So it's coming down between West Ham and Tottenham. Both have some pretty tough fixtures coming up. I don't think either have like an easy role, and that's why I think it was so important that Spurs held on to that win last week. But West Ham, let's go over West Ham. So it's currently West Ham is 2 points above the relegation zone. And for the month of May, they've got Brentford away, Arsenal at home, Newcastle away, Leeds at home.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty shaky. But I think it's doable. Like, I think the worst game for them, obviously, is against Arsenal because we're playing for a title. And then Tottenham, this is Tottenham's final games. You got Villa away. That's going to be tough. Leeds at home, which is going to be tough because they are shit at their home stadium. This is going to be probably the Super Bowl, the ultimate hater ball at Stamford Bridge on the 17th of May. One thing I realized, Chelsea fans hate Tottenham just as much as we do. I've heard a lot of Chelsea fans say our season is great if we just win that game. So that's that. And then they close against Everton. Now, as I look at this and I look at West Ham's fixtures, I don't think the Spurs get a point the rest of the way, especially with they already had injuries to Christian Romero. He's out for the year. Xavi Simmons just tore his ACL. I think they're going down. And I don't know. Have you been to the stadium?
No, I haven't.
I've been to Tottenham. That is a nice-ass stadium. I don't know if it's my favorite stadium I've been to. I'll probably have to say Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta. And that's maybe just the food. I ain't never had red velvet cookies. And it is the most Atlanta spread ever. I was like, black people cook this macaroni and cheese.
Yo, but I agree with you, my brother, because I got to stay in a suite when I went to Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, you went to Mercedes? Oh, bro, Mercedes-Benz is unmatched. Everybody, my top three.
Everybody who is going to the World Cup, if you can go to a game at Mercedes-Benz,
yes, bro.
Please go to a game in that. And first of all, that stadium is right in the hood.
Yes, it is. And people don't know that. It is right in the hood. It looks nice because they got that Olympic part over there. Nah, don't get it messed up.
Yo, I took a wrong turn. I was like, why am I at Morehouse?
You take a right turn like, yo, why look like PSC is over here? What's going on? But, yeah, if you're going to World Cup, if you want a stadium that's live, go there. But I will put Mercedes-Benz, SoFi, Minnesota, Vikings got a nice stadium, and Tottenham. Tottenham's a nice stadium. So to see Tottenham in a championship is going to be hilarious. But ultimately, I think that West Ham will get enough points to get it done. I think the only slip up for them could possibly us. Brentford away is never easy. No. I think Newcastle is they checked out. I don't think you got really worried about that. Leeds is straight. So I think that they'll make it. What's your thoughts on this relegation battle?
Tottenham's getting relegated, man. Like, I saw this schedule like 6 weeks ago. I was like, oh, y'all cooked. Like, I just knew they were gonna beat Wolves because Wolves are pathetic. But they can't score. They got no more playmakers left. Xavi Simmons is out. They got injuries all over the place. And it's just like, yeah, they won, and it's going to boost them up a little bit. But your next game is against who does Tottenham play next?
They play Villa at Villa Park. Villa.
And Villa needs to get 3 points.
Villa needs to win. Yeah.
Villa might punch you, and you going away to Villa? Yeah, they're going to punch you in the chest, and that's going to hurt. You know, that's going to knock your confidence down even more. And then you got Leeds, who Leeds don't care. Leeds just want to fight.
Leeds is it's their job to ruin everybody's season. Yeah. That's the kind of time they're on right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
And then Stamford Bridge is just going to be warfare.
Yeah.
They're going to try to do them.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough.
What do you think about the ramifications of a club like Tottenham? Like, we know, of course, we made jokes about Tottenham. But they're a big club. They make a lot of money, got a big fan base. It's no guarantee they're going to get called right back up next year if they do drop.
Boy, they're going to have a £1.5 billion problem if they get relegated. Like, it is damaging because I'm looking at, like, right now on the broadcast money, right? You get £73 million for staying in a champion, $73 million for staying in a championship versus $173 million in the Premier League. You get $0 for championship, Champions League broadcast. Your match day goes down by $70 million. Your commercial goes down by another $70 million. So you're looking at $483 million versus $823 million being in the Prem. You owe money for your stadium. Yeah, you got to cost cuts. You got to lose players. Your wage bill is going to get slashed. Like, oh man.
And on top of that, I know this sounds crazy, but even from a brand perspective, a lot of artists aren't going to want to perform at a stadium that's in the second tier of English football. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. Artists think that way. Because I remember when SoFi got built, artists was like, I don't want to perform at the Forum. And that's why it took so long for James Dolan to eventually sell the Forum to Steve Ballmer. These things matter.
Yeah, it's From a Hayden perspective, oh man, it's gonna be hilarious.
Oh, it's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be amazing.
But bro, woo, players gonna have to sell all their assets together. Yeah. Like, you know,
many players are going to leave, and I've seen a lot of Spurs content creators say that the players, I think they were shell shocked, and I don't think to the last couple weeks they thought that they could really get relegated. And I don't think a lot of people, even me, I was like, nah, they'll probably do enough. I think when they lost to. Who they lose to? I forgot who they lost to. But when they drew with Brighton, I was like, that's all I need to see. Like, I knew they would probably beat Wolves.
Yeah.
But this is a – if they even get a point, I would be absolutely floored. It's the gauntlet from hell.
Yeah. I mean, all jokes aside, man, Tottenham fans are stressed because this is –
Yeah.
Boy. And I look at their team. There's not even a player I would even want to save.
And that's the thing. Like, because you're going to have to – probably get rid of some of your highest paid players. Somebody told me, Scott, you have the pick of the litter of this Tottenham squad. Who do you want at Arsenal? It's not one dude on that roster I want at Arsenal.
I'm looking at the team now. Maybe Pedro Porro. Maybe. Because we might need another right back. I think Mickey Van de Ven is overrated. Yes. I will say this much, though. I do like Dominic Solanke. I do like him. I like Lucas Bergerval. Archie Gary will never join Man United because he's a Leeds fan and he hates United through and through. But I'm looking at the team.
That's real hate. I like that.
I don't know who else I would rescue. Kubilevski does not even exist. Kudus doesn't exist no more.
Did anybody who's more overrated, I won't even say he's overrated, but at the beginning of the season, I saw a lot of people rating him. Jed Spence, he was talking crazy after they beat us in the preseason. Bring me your best winger.
You remember him saying the Jets Penitentiary? Now, guess what?
Yeah, what penitentiary? SA owns that jail.
I mean, you going to jail in the championship, my brother. So.
You know what's even funny? You know, remember at the beginning of the year, Morgan Gibbs-White was going to go there. He needs to go to the Nottingham Forest owner and thank him. He saved him.
He's three games away from winning the Europa League title.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here we are, man. That's what Tottenham gets for beating Man United last year. So you guys won the battle, but guess what? I won the war.
I won the war. Hey, man, I would love nothing better than an Arsenal parade going one way in North London and a Spurs protest going the other way. That would be chef's kiss. Yeah. We're going to wrap this up with Champions League talk. We are in the Final Four of the Champions League. I just realized this is my second Champions League because I came in late last year. I think I came in right as the quarterfinals started. So I remember the semifinals last year. So Arsenal back against Atletico Madrid. I know a lot of people are calling it the Haram Ball, which tells me that you ain't really watching Atletico because they don't play like that anymore.
Atletico can't defend for shit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They play a much more attacking style of football. And then you've got the I cannot wait to watch this tie. Bayern Munich going against the reigning European champions, PSG. Tell us your thoughts and how you got these first legs going.
First and foremost, Desire Douay is wearing Nike Vapor MX-1 Patas. I'm a nerd, and I don't know why I love shit like that. But I just think PSG just has a little bit more than Bayern Munich. I just think Michael Olise is one of the greatest players in the world right now.
Yeah, he's
Harry Kane's one of the greatest English players to ever play. But I just think that PSG just have that little bit more than them. I think when you look at midfield, I think there's not more of a balanced midfield in the world than Vitinha, Yao Neves, and Warren Zaire-Emery, who, by the way, just like Kobbie Mainoo, young players who finally are getting their uptick. So I love those two together. I love that midfield three together. I
think, shout out to Kobbie Mainoo for the real Mobb Deep-ass pitch he posted on Instagram. I was like, this is kind of hard.
That kid is born in 2004, but I swear he thinks he's from
crazy.
He thinks he's from Long Island, or he thinks he's from
Brooklyn. He thinks he's from New York.
Yeah, he thinks he's from New York. It's the funniest thing in the world. But I just have PSG edging it. I have Arsenal beating Atleti because I just – Lookman's out, which is one of their most creative players. I just think Griezmann's legs are gone. So, and I think Arsenal can handle them defensively. And Arsenal can
– And Griezmann's already thinking about Disney World.
Already. So I think it's going to be PSG Arsenal the final. And unfortunately, my brother, I think PSG beats you guys. But
I ultimately think we will make the final. I do think we'll edge Atleti out. The reason I don't think we can beat whoever comes out of this tie, and I'm with you, I think I'm going to barely take PSG because I like their midfield better, and that back four to me is way better than the back four they got at Bayern. The front three is a toss up. It's just really which style you like. Do you like Douay, Kavra, and Dembele? Do you like Olise, Diaz, and Harry Kane? It's just like pick him. Do you want to get shot by a silencer or AK-47? It's up to you. That's how I look at it. So I think I would just give him the edge. And as much as I love the black man, Vincent Kompany, Luis Enrique is my favorite manager. And probably in rural. I just like to do. Like, if I was an opportunity to get Luis Enrique, I would fly to London just to pack Mikel's stuff up myself. If there was even a small chance.
I'm going to age myself like shit. 1998 World Cup, Nigeria beat Spain 3-2. Spain scores first, Nigeria scores. Spain scores, Nigeria scores. Sunday Elise scores the winner. My dad was at the stadium. I was actually supposed to go to that game. And what pissed me off the most is that was such a great game. But I remember my lasting image is Luis Enrique with his bald head crying. So for me, remembering that World Cup, seeing Diego Simeone also kick David Beckham, which I hate him to this day, to see them as coaches, I'm just like, dude, I've been watching this sport for too long. I'm old as shit, and I think it's somewhere in the middle.
Well, you know, when you've been watching this sport a long time, sometimes you just hate people even when they become coaches. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was watching – I don't hate this player, but I was watching Spurs Blazers yesterday. And they kept showing the Blazers bench. All I could hear was Steve Nay in my head. Tiago Splitter. Like, I just kept hearing that. Like, I was like, oh, shit, that's him.
Like, but, JJ Redick. Like,
yeah, JJ, I just.
I wanted to go to Maryland.
JJ, because he went to Duke, I just don't like him.
I wanted to go to University of Maryland just because I hated JJ Redick.
But he might be more hated than Christian Leighton. I ain't going to lie.
that is some real Maryland shit, because everybody, if you from Maryland, I don't care if you're from PG County, you from MoCo, you from Baltimore, we all hate J.J. Redick. It just is what it is.
Bro, I met Joe Dumars, and yeah. before I shook his hand, mm-hmm. I was like, did he shake Michael Jordan's hand when they eliminated when the Bulls beat him? And I was like, oh, yeah, that was Isaiah who didn't. And I told him, and he started dying laughing. We were just working at FedEx. Yeah. I was 1 year old when it happened, but it's just like, ingrained in you to hate certain things, but
like, bro, the only thing that sports teaches you is how to hate. That's it.
That's it. That's it. Hate, and there's a 10% chance that you'll be happy. I think Roy King said it on the Trouble documentary. He's like, sports is about disappointments.
Yeah,
there's an off chance you're gonna be happy when he was talking about not playing in the Champions League final because of the the red cards.
You know, quick Roy King story. You know what he did to Haaland's dad, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so the other day when y'all played against Arsenal, y'all played against City, and, you know, Haaland could have gone down with Gabriel. He said he's proud of him for not going down, and then Roy Keane goes, I don't know, he goes, his dad would have fell down. I was like, oh.
That's real hate. But, yeah, I think PSG will edge him out. I think that we can play PSG real hard, but I think what you saw in the City game just kind of – shows you who this Arsenal team is. We can play very well, but all it takes is a second of excellence to beat us. And then we're scrambling. Like what Ryan Cherky did. Like I saw somebody said Gabriel played bad defense. No, he didn't. He just got rocked. That's what that was. I thought him and Saliba played good defense. They got rocked. And Haaland, all it takes is a second. So I think we can play great defense. Mm-hmm. The midfield can be great. Dak, Zubi, whatever. All it takes is a Dembele moment, you know, or somebody else. And I think ultimately we'll lose there. But I'm going to end it with this. Just give me one. I don't care which one. Just give me one of them, man. But always good to talk to you, bro, man. Anything you want to promote, tell the people what to check out.
Just listen to Shirtless Plantain Show. I might do something for Man United today, depending on how we play. I hope we win. But other than that, man, y'all stay blessed. Y'all stay beautiful. Don't be a bitch. Log off when you can. Enjoy the weather. It's getting warmer outside. Try to find joy. I think that's the biggest thing I'm going to leave everybody is in this life, we're going through a lot, you know, politically, socially, economically, but try to have fun. Try to find joy, man. Try to find the good moments in your life. Meet good people. Go outside, talk to people. You realize that, you know, when you talk to people that everyone's going through something and you just got to have love, you know, and make great friendships like my brother Scott, you know, so it's a good friend of mine. Like I said, go meet people, man. Don't be a punk. Love people. Exactly. Love yourself. So that's all I got.
Exactly, man. And remember, sports supposed to be fun. Just try to remember that. I try to tell myself that too. Sports are supposed to be fun, not the bane of your existence. You know what I'm saying? So that's all we got for this week's edition of Soccer for Dummies. I will be back next week to recap. It was a match week 35 in the Premier League. And we'll talk about the second legs of the Champions League, man. So Tolson, always good to talk to you, my brother.
Be easy, man.
Y'all. Please subscribe. I'm about to.